You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and the Step Back. Today we're going to recap last night's Cleveland Cavaliers-New Orleans Pelicans game. The Cavs obviously won that game 90-82. If you didn't watch it, it wasn't a game I'd recommend going back and watching. We saw the Cavs shoot 37.8% from the field. That's their third worst shooting percentage of the year. They only shot 19.4% from three, which obviously is very low for them. Pelicans didn't shoot well. They had 36.4% from the field, but they did shoot 42.3% from three, which for them was big. Edito Warwick going 2-3, Buddy Hield 4-6, Drew Holiday 2-3 from three, and it was a close game until late when the Cavs ended up outscoring the Pelicans by 10 in the fourth quarter and then winning by a final score of 90-82. And if you didn't watch, it was a weird game because it was the Kayfelder game, as I'm going to call it. The Cavs don't win this game unless Kayfelder, because they needed someone to just fill those minutes. He's getting the shot because of, and he takes advantage of it. And that's where we're going to start with our takeaways. This is the second game in a row Kayfelder has played the best he's ever played in the NBA, and I mean, it's an incredibly small sample size for him, but didn't get to the line, didn't take any threes, but plus 12 in those 22 minutes, 2 assists. In the fourth one, he comes in for LeBron James, of all people, around the 11th, extends that lead, finishes the game, takes away McRae's minutes, and he closes out that game for the Cavs. This is not something I would have expected to say we were saying about Kayfelder. We're not that far removed from him going down to Canton just to get some playing time. He did say after the game that it was something that gave him some confidence. It was something that gave him a chance to break off some of the rust that he has kind of built up by not getting to play very much. But Kayfelder's looked awesome. You know, he obviously played a big role for the Cavs on Sunday as well in their win against the Hornets, playing some minutes. And again, he's getting to play because the Cavs need healthy bodies right now. And he just looks like a guy who looks really confident. He's a guy who seems to be finding a role. Everyone was singing his praises after the game, and you're seeing a Kayfelder that is kind of living up to maybe what we thought in the ideal situation he could do. Now, the downside of this is, of course, there's a two-game sample. Some of the stuff he's doing I don't think is particularly sustainable. I mean, you're seeing Kayfelder in this game go after a lot of mid-range shots. He's hunting those mid-range shots down. That's not something we see a lot of guys do. On the positive side, he kind of knew when to defer to LeBron. He was good at moving the ball. He was very impactful and confident in creating for himself and creating his own shots. We saw him have some really nice body control finishes inside. And you're seeing a guy who maybe he's not going to play 22 minutes tonight for the Cavs when Kyrie's back, which might be Wednesday against Canton. And I think that's still probably a good look for him. But I think you saw a guy who Jahdre Liggins didn't in this game but has before then. And just a really, we're not going to go into that differently now because we've talked about him. And this is the Kayfelder game. This is a guy who, again, took advantage of a situation, took advantage of a need for him. And yeah, LeBron James did take over the fourth quarter. LeBron James won this game for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was the guy who took advantage and did this. LeBron had 26 points. LeBron had 7 boards, 7 assists. But they didn't win this game without Kayfelder. And that was huge. 10 points in fourth quarter for LeBron. Blocked a Buddy Hield layup with 52.9 seconds left, rather. And it was great. I mean, but again, that doesn't happen unless Kayfelder comes in 11:02, gives LeBron a rest, of all people, the 5'9 rookie, giving the 6'8 greatest player in Cavs history, the best player in the NBA, maybe the best of all time, giving him a break. I mean, crazy. Gives him two consecutive possessions where he scores, assisted Fry in a layup. Just a huge, huge, huge swing for the thing. And lose quarter by this. I just told him to give me 1 minute to start the fourth quarter just to set the tone early, and then I was going to get someone for him. I brought it from Ty Lue, which, if you know, his style isn't particularly fun. But are particularly surprising, not funny, but just a game for K-Felder where he made his mark, and I think if he gets another chance and he keeps playing like this, you may see another kind of run for K-Felder where he's going to get some more time, more chances to play, and that to me is pretty big. He's also part of our second takeaway, which is that the Cavs' bench was great. As I noted in my recap over at Fear the Sword, which is up, you can find it on our Facebook page or wherever you want to find our content. The Cavs' bench was another huge reason, with K-Felder really leading the way. That part of the Cavs' bench outscored the Pelicans 34-20, and that was largely because of the efforts of three guys. You had Channing Frye, Richard Jefferson, and K-Felder. With Amon Shumpert playing well, it was plus 20, but 0-3 from 3, 1-7 from the field for Shumpert, but did have 4 rebounds, did have an assist, had his 2 of his points came on a very nice tip dunk, but for the Cavs' bench, this was a really good sign. You saw that you had a game here where Kevin Love didn't play very well because of just how sick he was. Love was played, left in the middle of the fourth quarter because he was sick. And with Love being that ill, a few different things, struggling just a few different things, to really step up. And that's such like an obvious thing, but Felder had to play this way. Jefferson had threes, but got the line 3 times, played really well. Frye, being the guy that he is, 4-7 from 3, had helped LeBron. He was 8-10 from the line, good performance from him. Did make a 3 tonight, because he was made. And you needed the bench, again, to really step up. Harris Smith out, really struggle. Combined, they're 2-10 from the field. 0-4 for his defense, was kind of normal. DeAndre Ligon's defense struggled with his shot, which he's going to kind of always do, but he's not comfortable spotting up. Had one really nice, his first basket was really nice. He drove, got fouled, just scored a nice bucket. Good on defense. And there, it's telling that when K-Felder just outplayed him, and I'm not saying that if Kyrie misses Wednesday or misses a game later in the season or, you know, whenever he gets a night off. What we've seen over the past 2 days, those have been two guys who have had a chance to step up. And yeah, McRae probably played better than Felder against the Hornets on New Year's Eve. If you go back and watch that game, it's kind of fucking very weird, and this game is maybe weirder. I think I'd argue that it is, but Felder, in the two games that they've really been competing head-to-head, I think he's outplayed him. I don't think that's particularly takey. I think he certainly is smaller. He certainly has some issues there. McRae theoretically is longer and is going to be a better shooter and kind of fill that off-ball role better, but he's not a particularly good off-ball shooter. You go look at his numbers on NBA.com/stats. He's never been a good three-point shooter as a spot-up shooter. Felder, it probably isn't going to be either, but he's a guy who I think is just kind of getting his confidence in. I think the time with the charge did help him. And I think he's outplayed Jordan McRae over 2 games. That has to, I think, count for something if you're trying to fill minutes as best you can when you had 10 healthy guys tonight. Again, the Cavs, with Mo Williams not being with the team but getting paid, with Birdman tearing his ACL, with Kyrie out, with Dunleavy out with that ankle injury, with JR out with his thumb injury, they went with 10 healthy bodies tonight, 10 active players, basically 9 because Kevin Love was sick. And again, if you didn't see the tweet from Dave McMenamin from ESPN, he ate some bad sea bass and had lost 10 pounds in 2 days. He probably shouldn't have played tonight if they didn't really need him. And the Cavs, and he didn't play like the Kevin Love we've seen. I was thinking, he's playing, this is the worst we've seen Kevin Love all year. You can legitimately probably just chalk it up to the fact that he ate some that bad sea bass and that he just felt terrible. And you could just see it in how he's moving and everything, and hit no lift in his three-point shots. And I mean, when you're going to look back at this year, like, you can, Kevin Love's worst game was just because he ate some bad food, just because so shaky right now. You have to kind of ride the hot guys, I think, and I think K-Felder is doing these things better. And you're not looking for a guy who's going to be a star. You're not looking for a play or, you know, take away major minutes or stop the Cavs from making a dish. K-Felder is that hot hand. And the bench in general has to play this hot, I think, if the Cavs are going to be this thin to kind of make all of that work. And that's a tricky thing, but it's true. The last takeaway is that this was the worst, I think, I've seen the Cavs play on offense all year. Of course, that's some recency bias because it was really hard to watch. They've only had 2 games that were worse than this in terms of field goal percentage. On the game that they rested, the big three against Memphis, they shot 37.3% from the field. And on November 8th against Atlanta, they shot 37.4% of the field. Tonight, 37.8, so 0.4 better than their second worst game, 0.5 better. Next up would be Detroit the day after Christmas. They shot 38% from the field on Christmas Day. I mean, a game they won, they beat the Golden Love, struggling a little bit, LeBron struggling a little bit. But the Cavs are a much better offensive. Again, didn't hit threes well. If you want to look at 3-point percentage, their worst performance from three, they went 8 of 35, 2.9% for those keeping track at home. Tonight was the worst of the year. 6 of 31, and two shot. Well, Kevin Love, Kevin Love, 0 of 7. LeBron, 30. Just think about that for a second. The Cavs, who, you know, have done a good job of getting J.R. Smith, probably the team's best 2 3-point shooters, did not have a starter make a single 3. Of course, didn't take any, because that's not Tristan's game. Liggins 0 of 1, McRae 0 of 3. McRae is supposed to be a guy who hits threes. You have a starting lineup. You had all your threes coming from 4 from Channing Frye. Channing Frye made 40 Frye against the Pelicans. That's not great, and they still won. Testament to the defense. They overcame what is probably overall their worst offensive game of the year. Strike from the record, because when you're calculating stats for this team, because it was just not the actual Cavs, it was just... This is, I think, the worst offensive performance of the year from the team. So without Kyrie and without a healthy Kevin Love, that certainly helps. But this hurts that argument for really, really bad performance from the Cavs' offense. Not something to be concerned about. Just this one-game thing where the 80-point game for a team, mind you, that came in 9 points a game, that's fourth in the league. They have the fourth best offensive rating coming. It's like LeBron and Kevin Love having great years. Healthy, I mean, because of bench scoring. Just a kind of funky win for the Cavs, but you take the wins. It was one of the most bizarre Cavs games of the year. I still, as I'm recording this podcast, I can't really wrap my mind around everything about this game. It was just so weird to watch. So weird to kind of process. Kay Felder playing big minutes. LeBron had this amazing dunk and all that. I mean, it was just really bizarre. But I'll kind of just go through some of these whining old winners from this game. Some of the little stuff. Von Schumper, let's start with him. He wore a headband for what I think might have been the first time this season. If you know that he wore a headband at another game this year, let me know. He also wore these all-red Reebok Questions, which, if you don't know what those are Allen Iverson's debut sneaker from 1996. Shumpert was an Adidas guy, if I'm not mistaken. Coming into this year, we've seen him wear Kyrie's. We've seen him wear those copper foam posits that his wife, Tiana Taylor, clowned him for on Twitter when he played bad on Christmas Day. We've seen him in some Jordans, but he wore these all-red Reebok Questions that are pretty sick. I was 3 years old when those came out, but as a sneakerhead, you read the Slam Kicks book, those are in there. And just a crazy sneaker drift from Amon Shumpert. He didn't shoot well, of course, you know, we talk about that, and he did, if you watch the game or there and you saw him after the game, you saw him taking threes after the game, kind of looking frustrated in full uniform, but it's a guy who I think is playing a lot better this year and had a bad night. But for Amon, at least he had some thick shoes, at least he wore the headband, and I was digging the... And maybe the headband was an Iverson thing, too. I don't know. That's a good question to ask him next time I talk to him, I guess. But pretty kind of a cool look for somebody, even if he didn't play that well. The Cavs, in their first quarter, when they only scored the 15 points, they shot 20 performance of the year. That 23.1 field goal percentage for a single quarter, the Kyrie, Byron Scott, Mike Brown years, the times Deion Waiters was the... When Kyrie was players in the non-LeBron years... they never perform worse than you have LeBron James, you have Kevin Love, and that's when it's just kind of crazy. Basketball's funny like that sometimes, sports are funny like that sometimes, but LeBron James did have an absurd dunk in the first quarter. You can look at the photo, that'll be Backcast newsletter, of him just getting above the rim, just yamming on people. If you're going to look at a couple good things that he did, again, have that nice body control attack of the rim, doesn't matter, but at least he did something good there. Kev did. James Jones. So shout out to the guy they call Champ. And he hasn't played very much. I'm like, oh, they're just trying to fill some minutes. And you look, and James Jones, 3 points, had an assist as well. He had a kind of a crazy game, for him at least. I mean, he boxed Taron Jones at the rim. I think there's a foul called, so it doesn't count as a. And he's playing active defense. He helped create some chaos on the next possession down. And he just does actually matter in the scheme of things. With James Jones, you have a guy who, the type of minutes that maybe, you know, the world he wants. But he knows he's going to, when they had to think about this guy or how hard he works. And this is not a new revelation, but it's in a game 7 of the finals. And that's not even hyperbole. This dude works really hard to make sure. And it's always kind of fun when he does other guys where he blocks Terrence Jones, a young player in this league by Jones. Richard Jefferson hit his 1,000th career three. Jefferson in this game. LeBron James also hit a couple milestones. He was 14th at field goals. He also has now two more in this game. Pretty big for, but again, I feel like every game he's gonna just kind of pick up something funny like that. LeBron, we've talked about this a lot, where the Cavs do struggle with him on the bench a little bit, because of course you're going to struggle when LeBron James isn't able to play minutes. You're going to struggle, and it's kind of a problem with Kyrie's there, but they were able to survive without him, without a functional Kevin Love, and to me that was really. LeBron James fell a little bit, and Kay Felder deserves a lot of the credit for that. Again, Kevin Love ate some bad sea bass, lost 10 pounds over 2 days. A day or so, get him healthy. And everyone, Channing Frye said he's a cold, and I think they're kind of all some stuff right now, mentally and physically, and just kind of the new year, the flu watches, Tom Haverick, that kind of is. Again, Mike Dunleavy did miss this game as well with an ankle injury. Who didn't hear me note that before? Actually, it's been bugging him all year. Maybe that's just, he needs to get that right, but I mean, who actually knows about Mike Dunleavy at this point? It's just kind of a confusing thing with him. So that's kind of going to be kind of just a weird game, and this wasn't exactly a game that I could really pick out these specific things about. The Cavs just played so badly in offense, I kind of just assumed they were going to lose a game they shouldn't have. I mean, the Pelicans are not a great team. Anthony Davis is a great player, but he didn't even play that well. 10 of 27 from the field for him, 17 boards, 3 blocks, but the Pelicans did a really bad job of getting him into situations where he can maximize the mismatches the Cavs had on him. They had guards defending him and stuff, and Tristan Thompson, for his credit, did a great job on him in the fourth quarter, 0-5 from the field for Davis in the fourth because of Amon Shumpert. But the Cavs win this game, 98-82. It's the Kay Felder game. Yes, LeBron James was great in the fourth, as he always is, but if you're just the fun part of this game is Kay Felder scoring 8 points in the fourth quarter. He was, if we're talking about Kyrie as his Robin, let's say he's the Dick Grayson Robin, that makes Kay Felder like the Carey Kelly or the Tim Drake Robin. If we're going to do some DC deep cuts here, he's some sort of Robin for this one night. And I think you can just make it. This is one of the games you'll think about Kay Felder, whether he becomes an actual long-term piece for this team or gets traded or whatever ends up happening with him. You'll always, I think, maybe remember this game where Kay Felder was big in the fourth quarter and didn't really seem too hyped by it if you saw any of his post-game interviews. But that's it for today's show. What's next for the Cavs is a day off on Tuesday. They play again against the Bulls at home on Wednesday against Jimmy Butler and the Chicago Bulls. We're going through a lot of things right now. And then from that, they have a 6-game road trip where they start in Brooklyn against one of the worst teams and then finish in Oakland against the Warriors on January 16th. So a big swing for the Cavs after that last home game on Wednesday. I'll be at that home game on Wednesday covering it. We'll have some audio for you from that game. Hoping to throw together a cool Bulls preview for you ahead of it as well. So we'll talk to you then. For Locked On Cavs, this has been Chris Manning. And we will talk to you tomorrow when we will preview Cavs.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while Geico could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, Geico has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than Geico. Geico, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.